of little boys will hear can be very terrifying. I know my mother, I'm glad she's not here today for this very reason, my mother would often cringe at the thought of what I might say or do at the sound of some passages, you know, the gladly the cross-eyed bear routine instead of the hymn, and round John Virgin instead of round yon virgin. And one of the things I had trouble with was some of the things we would recite in church. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and never shall be, was another one of my phrases. As a kid, I would often mangle the phrases, and we went to a Catholic church for a funeral once, and they were doing the Hail Mary, and I asked my mother afterwards, what is the fruit of the loom? We can often hear things we don't expect, especially when we're kids, especially when you're a mischievous boy like me. You would often intentionally mangle things that you hear in order to get a laugh. We often hear things we don't expect. If we're listening to God's voice, and if we're truly in tune with what God has to say to us, then we will hear what we least expect. The world teaches us to expect judgment. The world teaches us to expect opposition and evil and hate and anger. The world teaches us to expect greed, hypocrisy. The world teaches us to expect not love, peace, and grace, not mercy and acceptance, but rejection and judgment. The world teaches us the exact opposite of that which we will hear, if only we will open our ears and listen with the heart, the mind, the soul, of faith to the still small voice of God inside speaking to us. Words of grace and peace, mercy and love. This season, this time of preparation, is a time to unstop our ears and open our hearts and our spirits to the voice of God speaking within our souls. It is a time to open our skeptical minds to the Word of God and what God has to say to us through His holy angels, through those messengers that He has given. Here today in the Annunciation unto Mary, here today we have an unexpected word. We have a young girl, just barely capable of conceiving a child. Mary was indeed very young, just barely capable of conception. And the angel Gabriel visits her and speaks to her a word that must have come totally by surprise. Indeed, Scripture says she was perplexed at what Gabriel said. Gabriel said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Not exactly what you expect to hear if you're a young Jewish girl living in the first century BC. Not exactly what you expect to hear. "Greetings, favored one." Her entire life and all that she could see was teaching her that she would not be favored. She was, after all, a female. And women had to sit in the back or outside. They had to be quiet. They had to do as they were told. They were not given a choice. And they certainly weren't lifted up as being favored. I found the words here in the passage interesting. We've heard many different translations of this. We've all heard the Hail Mary, the Ave Maria. "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." What we don't understand or remember is that it comes from here in Luke. It is scriptural indeed. He said to her, "Greetings, favored one." The word in Greek is charitao, to be graced, filled, or to be filled up with grace, with God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. The grace that she has received. It's a passive verb in its formation here in Luke's gospel. Caritao is placed into a passive verbal formation so that she, it's grace and she is gracious, but she is passive in that graciousness. She has received grace. Hence, greetings, you who have been filled up with grace. You who have received grace. Greetings. I like the older translation, hail. Greetings. Proclamations to you. Greetings. One who is filled has received God's favor, God's unearned, undeserved favor. Remember, grace is getting not what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. I've used this illustration before. Driving down the road, and you're going 65 miles an hour in a 40 mile per hour zone, and the cop pulls you over and gives you a ticket for speeding. That's getting justice. You're getting what you deserve. You're going down the road 65 miles per hour in a 40 mile per hour zone. Cop pulls you over and doesn't give you a ticket. That's called mercy. You're not getting what you deserve. But if you're going down the road 65 miles per hour in a 40 mile per hour zone, and the cop pulls you over and gives you a $100 bill, that's grace. Receiving what you do not deserve. That which you have not merited. Scripture here in Luke says, in the verb form is undeniably passive. Greetings, one who has been filled up with God's favor. Greetings, the angel says, greetings, one who has been filled up with God's grace. Now, I'm not surprised that this perplexed her, this surprised her. She did not expect to hear this proclamation. Me, filled up with God's grace? What have I done to deserve it? Nothing. That's the whole point. She has been filled up with God's grace. She has received God's grace. She's done, as is true with grace, we do nothing to earn it. We cannot make it or build it, and we certainly don't merit it. Grace is a freely given bequest of God's favor, given because of the giver, God, and because of our need, we receive grace. Likewise, Mary was filled up with God's grace because God knew she was going to need it. Let's keep going. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said unto her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Do not be afraid, Miriam, literally, for you have found grace. The word here is charen, grace. You have found grace, favor with God. When we have favor with God, when God gives us that which we do not deserve, grace, forgiveness, acceptance, we have nothing to fear. I'm going to say that again. When God gives us that which we do not deserve, unmerited, unearned forgiveness, love, and acceptance, When God gives us His grace, we have nothing to fear. Mary had nothing to fear. You are favored. You are given grace. Do not be afraid, Gabriel says. Do not be afraid. For you have found favor with God. You have received favor from God. You have received grace from God. And now, he says, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, you know, right there, that's just an amazing proclamation. A little girl, young woman, just barely able to have kids. Robin, T. Lynn, maybe your age. That puts flesh and blood on it, doesn't it? About your age. A young woman. You're going to have a kid. A son. And not just any old squalling brat. You're going to have a king. And you'll name him Jesus. Yeshua. The name means everything. Yahweh saves. God saves. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's an amazing proclamation for a little peasant young woman like Miriam. No wonder she's going to need God's grace if this is going to happen. Listen to what she says. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" Mary's wondering here is not ambiguous. There is no question in Scripture as to her having been a virgin. She says in an idiom that comes straight from the Aramaic, and it's been translated into Greek, "since I have not known a man." Literally. She says in Greek, "since I have not known a man." And we all know what "know" can mean in the Old Testament. It means had sexual relationships with. I haven't known a man. I haven't had sexual relationship with a man. I am a virgin. How can this possibly be? How can I bear a son? How can I be pregnant when I haven't known a man? Indeed, I'm engaged to be married to Joseph, a carpenter, and according to church tradition, a man quite a bit older than her. But she hasn't known him yet. They haven't been married yet. They haven't had relations yet. How can I be with child? Her question is point blank. She wants to know, how is this possible? And the angel said unto her, verse 35, the angel said unto her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." We, like Mary, look at what God has for us to do and we say it's impossible. We don't have enough people. We don't have enough kids. We don't have enough young families. We don't have enough children. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough resources. We have too much building or too little building, too many bills, too much apportionments. We look at our lives and we say, "God, you must be joking. How can you do this with us? How can you call us to proclaim the gospel? How can you call us to bring Jesus into this world? How can you call us to reflect and to proclaim and to be the presence of Jesus and the body of Christ here in Segoville? We don't have enough money. We don't have enough people. Take it down there and give it to those people down the street right here at the Church of Christ. They got all them cars. They got that nice parking lot. They got that big building with that steeple. Let them do it. We don't have enough. Now, she didn't do that. And we shouldn't do it either. She simply asked a question. A question that reflected her realization that on her own power and in her own ability and by her own strength, she couldn't do it. She was without having known a man. How can she give birth? And she was Miriam, not the daughter of Herod, not the daughter of a king, not even the daughter of a wealthy merchant. She was little Miriam. Betrothed, but not yet married. Engaged, but not yet married. To a middle-aged carpenter. How can she give birth to the Son of God, much less a king? How can she give birth to the King of Israel? How can she give birth to the Son of God? The angel's very clear. And what he says to her, he says to us. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. You know, I didn't look it up before. I want to see what it says here in verse 35 in Greek. Let's see. It does. The word power here, sometimes it uses the word energy, energia. But here, Luke writes, dunamis, the power. The Greek word dunamis is the root from which we get the word dynamite. The power of God will overshadow you. You may find it impossible, Miriam. And for you it is impossible to conceive a child without knowing a man. But the power of God will overshadow you. Likewise for us. It may seem impossible to do what God has called us to do. Oh God, like I went through before, we don't have enough money, we have too many bills, we don't have enough children, we don't have enough young families, we don't have enough people. How can we do what God has called us to do? The power of the Most High will overshadow you. That means the dynamite of God's power will come over and shield us and protect us from our own doubts and our own inabilities and our own lack of strength and indeed our own lack of faith. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The word spoken by Gabriel is a word spoken by God to us today. The word spoken by Gabriel to Miriam is a word spoken by God to us today. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And just as she was empowered, just as she was enabled to give birth to the Son of God, to Jesus, so also we are enabled, not through any grace or strength or power or majesty or abilities of our own, we are enabled to proclaim that very Jesus, to give birth to Jesus in the womb of our hearts and carry Him forth to the world, just as Mary carried forth Jesus to the world. We don't have the ability on our own. Like Mary, we must be filled by God's grace to enable it. Once we are filled, and once we hear the calling of God, we, like Mary, have the same calling. She would be overshadowed, we will be overshadowed. And the angel says, nothing will be impossible for you. with God. How can we do this? Nothing is impossible with God. I want you to say that with me. Nothing is impossible with God. Again. Nothing is impossible with God. Oh, we're sinners. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. We stick our foot in our mouth up to our ankles and suck on it. We have the Peter the Apostle syndrome in spades sometimes. We mess up. Nothing is impossible with God. You will be overshadowed. Let's finish out the reading. Verse 38. Did Mary say, too difficult. Sorry, Gabriel, I think I'll pass on that one. thank you, Gabriel. Why don't you go down the street? I understand that, you know, you just told me Elizabeth, my cousin, she's pregnant. Why don't you use her? I mean, she's an old woman, too. Come on, that's pretty impressive. The other end of the age spectrum. Why don't you use her? I'd rather not. I'll pass. No, she didn't say that. She says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." She could have said no. She could have said no. But instead she said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." She could have said no. She could have said, "I'll pass." She could have said, "Use Elizabeth." She could have said any of those things. She could have run screaming out of her room. She could have done a spiritual abortion to God's will. But she didn't. My friends, don't let your felt sense of inadequacy, don't let your understanding that you are a sinner, don't let any sense of inability cause you to abort what God has for you to do. We, too, are called to respond in faith. That's exactly what this is. She was given God's grace. She was filled up with the grace. She was told what God wanted her to do. And she said, "I am here, your servant. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Here am I. Let it be with me according to your will." She said yes. Let us say yes to God's calling. Let us not allow our failings, our stupid moments, to get in the way of God's will. Let us not allow the fears of the future, the fear of change, the fear of the unknown, to stand in the way of what God is calling us to do. If Miriam, a little girl, over 2,000 years ago now, could say yes to the calling of God, could be filled up with God's grace and say yes to the calling of God, so can we. We have the most amazing grace we will ever need, that Christ child that she would give birth to. We have truly an amazing calling to birth Christ in this world, just as Mary was called. We have an example in this girl. Truly a favored one. Chosen by God. You too are chosen. You too are favored. Say, in response to the call, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." In the name of the Father and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2005 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.